Hey there, everybody. Welcome on into another Buffoon and Botkins. My name is Tanner Dawson of the Whiskey Sports Podcast and the Sports Buffoons. The man behind the Botkins show will be on a little later. He unfortunately had, looks like he had some home issues going on into play that I do not wish upon anybody. So he'll definitely be jumping on. But anyways, guys, we got a great show for you today. We'll definitely be talking about the NFL, talking about that free agency news today happened, talking about the trade from the Bears impact as well from earlier this weekend. And then we'll talk probably hopefully squeezing a little hockey before Jim has to leave. And then we'll be breaking down the AL Central today with Jonathan Grishman today. We'll see where he ranks my Royals. I'm not going to say I have him very high, but I'm not going to say I have him last, though. It'll be good. All right, guys, let's bring him in. The man. Jim Behringer. Jim, what's up, dude?
Yo, what's up?
Oh, man. Hey, man. How about you? Congratulations, by the way. First place for the Devils.
All right. Devils first place. What's up?
That's what I'm talking about. Nick, do you know what it's like being first place?
Well, I do. Do you know what it's like to be in first place, Tanner? Do you got one of these?
I don't need those. I got money. I got monetary value.
Do you got one of these, Tanner?
Monetary value.
Do you got one of these? If you can read that, it says Nick Botkins, winner of Let's Talk Sports, Who's Got the Answers, got all the answers game show.
No way, he sent that to you?
Do you got? Yeah, Tanner. Oh, hey, my. Jim, you can ask Tanner how I got this lovely trophy. You can ask Tanner how I acquired this.
How did he acquire that?
He got one answer in the double bonus round. To get the victory. It was 2-1 was the final dance score.
And Tanner, who did I beat to get this trophy? Who did I beat?
You had to beat me.
You got one of these, baby. You ain't got one of these.
I mean, I got a bunch of them sitting on my table.
Oh man. You know, I got to view a little bit of Matt Larrison and Ryan Larrison going at it, and it was 1-1 when I had to turn it off, and I still got to finish. I'm still curious who won. I don't know if you guys caught it, but it was
another one. I caught some of it too, and I think Ryan was winning.
Yeah, I mean it was some hard questions. Don't get me wrong. It was they were hard once again for the Bills and Eagles. So
yeah.
I mean Dan's bringing those questions out there. You know he's not. He's not shying away. He's like, you got to know everything from the 1900s all the way to 2010. So
that's crazy, man. It's crazy. This feels like it's Super Bowl trivia. I'm listening to like Francesa when he did his Super Bowl trivia giveaway.
Oh my Lord.
Exactly.
It's insane. So, all right, guys, let's get back into relevant stuff here. Going to play. Let's talk about this weekend straight here. The Chicago Bears get DJ Moore. A first round pick, the number, what was it, 69 or something like that? And then a future first round pick and for the first overall pick to the Carolina Panthers, who trade up to get hopefully a quarterback, you would think, right?
You would think. I mean, the reason why Chicago moved the pick was that there's a quarterback in play at the number one position, and they don't need a quarterback right now. They have Justin Fields, and they got a wide receiver for him finally. So, I mean, that's a great takeaway by the Bears to get DJ Moore out of Carolina. And I think Carolina will do good. They're probably going to go after Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback, who probably go number
one. Are they, though? I mean, their stupidity, they will probably take Richardson at one, and, you know, and then the Texans will be so happy after that. I mean – I said this on another show, NFL Outdated, last night. I said the Bears need to build Lovie Smith a statue in that new park that they're going to build because he got them, the Texans winning that game, the last game of the season, got the Bears the number one pick, and then they were able to trade back and acquire these picks plus DJ Moore. This was an absolute home run for the Chicago Bears. And then today we saw the moves they made today to get Tremaine Edmonds and another linebacker. I mean, the Bears GM, they have acquired assets and have now acquired or starting to acquire talent with all that cap space. You got Fields. Now you got them. You gave them receivers. You just mentioned DJ Moore. Now you can put Claypool at the three. You got Mooney who can be the two again. This team, shit, boys. The Bears could win the NFC North because my Packers are going to freaking are in the complete darkness
now,
here.
Now, I want you guys to know this. It's a crazy fact. DJ Moore in his, 5 years, technically has the highest, would have the highest receiving yards for Bears of all time. As a wide receiver.
I mean, look, and now you got Fields with Moore. I mean, they're gonna tear it up. Bears, I mean, you think about it. I mean, Bears are definitely going to challenge for playoffs, but could challenge for the division next year. They're only going to get better. I like the additions, and you knew they weren't going to keep the pick. It was just going to decide who's had the best package because they were not staying at one. Fields is the future of that team, and you could see he's just getting better and better. And, you know, you have your franchise quarterback. You don't want to start this process all over again. They get him. Now we're going to see what happens, the rest of the way because Nick's right. Potentially Carolina could be stupid and get Anthony Richardson at one. And now, you know, you've even set yourself back even further because Sam Darnold signed his backup in
49ers.
And with the 49ers. Yeah. So you need to go quarterback here.
They're going quarterback. I don't think it's just who, you know what I mean? Yeah. Who's going to be, is it going to be, could it be Richardson? Is it going to be Bryce? Is it CJ Stroud? They don't know. That's the thing I didn't like. Yeah. It's like Carolina's like, oh, we don't know who we want. We just know we want the number one pick. Like, so you don't know the guy that you're trading all these assets to go get yet, but you know you're going to do it. I didn't like that. And they're like, well, we could also trade back. What? Why wouldn't you just trade up two spots and you wouldn't have had to give up? Like, it just made no sense. You could have made the trade with Arizona if you didn't know who you were going to get at one.
Exactly. And probably not give up DJ Moore.
Yeah, and probably not have to give up DJ Moore. Because who the hell is your quarterback going to throw to? They have no weapons.
Terrence Marshall?
Yeah, no. I guess, right? I mean, I don't know.
Unless they sign somebody, there's not many weapons for whoever's coming in.
I mean, it's 2022 Giants receiving core out there. So
there's not any weapons out there to get true. Either, though, Jim. Like no. The wide receiver free agent market is, I mean, very thin.
Right, exactly. And unless you draft a guy and you can figure out a way to get back in the first round and draft a guy, they kind of put themselves behind the eight ball here, not knowing the fact that who they're going to take. Like you make this trade, you better know who you're taking, number one. And that's your guy.
No, by far. It's a lot of pressure. And it's right now all on the front office. Who are you going to go after this big move? So, because you lost C-Mac last year, you know, in that now you lose DJ Moore. You still don't have a quarterback.
Robbie Anderson. They had
which is
Did they still got Lynn Biscuit? Chenault? I feel like he's on their team, I thought, at one point.
Chenault's still there.
Yeah.
He's still there. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like Terrence Marshall and Chenault in wide receiving court. It's awful. All right, let's hit on a different team here and pick on them. Let's talk about the Raiders out here letting go of Mr. Jarrett Stidham to the Broncos. Meanwhile, they go out and sign Jimmy Garoppolo to a 3-year $67.5 million contract with the Raiders here.
$35 million guaranteed.
Yeah, $35 million guaranteed. So that's not bad, actually, for the Raiders.
It's not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal.
I like the deal for both sides. It makes sense for both sides. If I'm the Raiders, that's the guy. I had this conversation, too, last night. Like, people are like, well, why? How come Rodgers isn't linked to the Raiders? I said, McDaniels wants somebody that he can tell what to go do and be in charge. You're not going to tell Aaron what to do and be in charge. Jimmy is a guy that's going to be a system guy, knows the system. Can he stay healthy? I would have liked him if they would have kept Jarrett Stidham as a backup because, as we know, Jimmy G can't stay healthy. So I hope they have a quality backup.
I still think they go out and draft somebody. I mean, do you, Jim?
I think they could draft somebody. I mean, again, where are they picking?
They're like seventh or eighth.
I mean, potentially, if there's a quarterback available, eighth. I mean, but then you're in the same situation Jimmy G was in when he was in San Francisco when San Fran Yeah, then when San Fran traded up to go get Trey Lance, I mean, is that a situation that he wants to be in again, knowing that the future guy, and if you're drafting that high, then why are you signing Jimmy G to a three-year deal with that kind of money guaranteed? So I don't know if they go quarterback there. Maybe they go later. Maybe it's a later round guy that they see, or they find a quality backup somewhere to back him up, because I agree with Nick. That's the big concern is can he stay healthy? But the talent is there like it was in San Francisco. You got Davante Adams, Josh Jacobs. I mean, this, you know, way Jimmy can throw the football, this team's going to be good. It's just a matter of can they keep teams out of the end zone.
Yeah.
The Raiders draft seventh.
Seventh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's still possible. Very possible they go out and draft a quarterback to sit behind Jimmy.
Will Levis or somebody like that, maybe.
Yeah, because Will Levis isn't ready to come into the NFL right away. He's not. Like, there are a couple guys in there that are really not ready, you know, to come into the NFL and play.
Majority of them.
Yeah, exactly. But even the guys in the past couple of years weren't truly, truly ready. Like, I think you need to be – you need to have a guy in place that can mentor a guy along until he's ready, as we saw with like Kurt Warner and the Eli Manning situation. I mean, yeah, you know, Kurt was looking over his shoulder, but he was a mentor because Eli wasn't ready. Like Rodgers sat for a couple years before he took the reins, and I think teams need to realize that. I know you're drafting high and you're drafting and expecting this kid to play, but these guys aren't ready. And I'm going to tell you right now, whoever drafts Stetson Bennett is going to have a quarterback that will be ready to play.
Well, yeah, he's 35 years old. Of course he's
ready. Exactly. He's ready to play.
But playing in championship games.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, yo, guy's going to be 43 still win national championships.
Love it. Let's hit on another team here. I thought was kind of interesting. The Chargers making another defensive splash today, signing Eric Kendricks from the Vikings. A guy that was all pro in 2019, a pro bowler. This is a Chargers team that continues to build a defense, yet so disappointing from last year. Now Austin Eckler is asking permission to seek a trade.
They couldn't get a deal done with Eckler, so he's asking to be traded.
Yeah, despite Keenan and Mike Williams both taking pay cuts and restructure their contracts, they still can't get Mr. Eckler done. And they're still signing defensive players to try to combat the AFC West. What's your guys' thoughts on that? Jim, we'll start with you.
I mean, look, Chargers, we know their defense is good. It's the problem is they can't score a lot of points, or they can't. Or their defense can't hold anybody because they're always on the field, and they blow leads left and right. But they're shoring up their defense. But like you said, you need Austin Eckler to stay there because everybody else is taking pay cuts to stay. They have a good team. They have a good quarterback in Justin Herbert. But the problem is the AFC West is loaded. Now you got Jimmy G with the Raiders. You know, we know what Mahomes and your boys are doing in Kansas City. Like, we already know that.
We're talking the Raiders, and is Jimmy G really better than Derek Carr, though? Like, did they upgrade?
I think it's a lateral move, to be honest.
Are they the same guy? Derek Carr at least stays healthy. At least Carr stays healthy.
Derek Carr's on the field.
Yeah.
The best ability is availability.
It's a lateral move, though.
Total lateral move.
The only difference is Jimmy G knows how to win games. However, he wins.
He went to a Super Bowl.
And he almost went back to an NFC Championship game. If he stayed healthy, he probably would have.
Well, he went to one last year. They were in the NFC Championship game in 2022. Yeah.
It's a guy that knows how to win, and that's the benefit of leaving Derek Carr, because that's a guy who continues to struggle across all forms of pressure.
But was that Derek Carr's fault? Some of them Raiders team.
I think Carr made some poor decisions, especially late in games with the football protection mistakes. I think Jimmy's going to be better with clock management. He's going to understand situations a little bit better. Going to protect the football a little bit better.
I think Derek Carr's got a better arm, deeper arm. I mean, that's what he can stretch the field better than
90 yards all you want. But if you're throwing interceptions and can't win in the cold, what's the point of being a quarterback?
Right. And Garoppolo's shown he can win anywhere. So,
yeah. He's one in the cold, and he's one not having to throw 90 yards. Right?
That's true. I mean, I'll give you guys. I just don't think that they're that much better with Jimmy G.
No, I agree. It's a lateral move. I totally agree. It's a lateral move. But again, this is Raiders are known to do crazy things.
There's some hope.
Well, that's true. They're the Raiders.
They're the Raiders.
Meanwhile, I'm sure at the end of the year we'll see the Raiders organization be turned around again. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
New coach, new GM.
That's right. Everything. All right, let's talk about the big one here that happened over the weekend. Jalen Ramsey getting traded to the Miami Dolphins. They also signed Mike White today to solidify that backup. So when Tua and the turf meet again, you know, they at least have a eligible backup. Not that Skylar Thompson. He didn't do too bad by any means, but I mean, there's definitely a talent gap between Mike White and Skylar Thompson. Right. And I think Mike White, who we've seen come in, who can start if he needs to 3 or 4 games, you know, and that, I think that's going to be very important for this Miami team as well. And they also got linebacker David Long for a 2-year, $11 million deal. So they boost up the defense again. They bring in a guy just in case Tua has issues. I mean, Dolphins still finished third.
They've put their chips in the center of the table. That's for sure. They're all in, right? This Jalen Ramsey move, the move they made even last in the midseason, getting Bradley Chubb, like, they have pushed their chips, much like we saw the Eagles do when they traded for A.J. Brown. And, you know, they have pushed their chips in, the Dolphins did. And it's going to be interesting. They could probably still finish second.
I think the Jalen Ramsey moves to combat Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs up in Buffalo, what they're doing.
Yeah.
I fully agree with that one.
What about are the Jets so sold on Aaron that, I mean, who, if Aaron does not go to the Jets, like, let's just say it is retirement, because I don't think it's Green Bay. Who the hell is the quarterback for the Jets? Because Zach Wilson can't line him up at center, because I don't think they would lose the locker room. I mean, you let Mike White leave. Are they just so hopeful that Aaron is going to come to the Jets? Like, they went to his house, flew out to California, gave him, here's ayahuasca, here's all the plants and the marijuana, everything you need, Aaron. We'll go in this darkness retreat with you. We'll do whatever you want. And what if he retires? What if he doesn't come? What do the Jets do then? They're just holding their dick in their hand?
They're screwed.
So they're just holding their dick in their hand.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look, it feels like eventually this has got to end somehow, some way. But the problem is you saw, you know, Carr go to New Orleans. Like, that was a guy that they had interest in. Now you're seeing other guys, you know, Jimmy G signs in Vegas. That could have been a potential another landing spot for the Jets that have a quarterback. It feels like it's Rodgers or it's somebody else that we don't know about. And the problem is the option
Rodgers or Baker Mayfield? I mean, he's been linked to Tampa Bay. That's right?
So out there, there's Baker, there's Carson, there's Marcus, there's Teddy. Taylor Heineke.
I mean,
if you're tying your toes to them, then yeah, the Dolphins are definitely going for second, going to be in second place and maybe contend for first. Remember, they competed with the Bills both times that they played them, except for the playoff game.
Yeah, but you got to win the games that, you know, are outside.
They won the game in Miami.
But the playoff game was pretty competitive until late in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, the Jets, I mean, maybe Teddy Bridgewater gets it. Maybe that's the guy to go after.
I mean, I think it's between Baker and Teddy in this one.
I mean, the thing is if it's not Aaron, you better have the guy that you need in place now before he goes someplace else.
That's why I was surprised they didn't sign Mike White at least to a backup deal, like a 1-year deal. Hey, you might be our guy if Aaron doesn't come.
But the problem is all these free agents know that the Jets are linked to Rodgers. And the problem is they're not going to wait for Rodgers to make a decision. They're going to look out for themselves. And then the Jets are just going to be left standing there with no chairs left.
God, I hope it happens. Sorry, Dan Harris, but I hope it happens.
By the way, the Bears just signed defensive end DeMarcus Walker, former Titans, just now. following a seven sack breakout season. So he's getting just over $7 million per year over the next 2 years. So that's some news there. And then the Vikings just signed Marcus Davenport to a 1 year, $13 million deal.
That's not bad. That's a nice pickup by them. That's a
nice one there.
Yo, wait. Let's talk about what happened after the show went off the air last week, in the middle of the week, when Danny Dimes and Saquon got their money finally.
I thought we already talked about it. We talked about that last week.
We did?
But it wasn't official.
Yeah.
It's official.
We were talking about, like, basically Danny Dimes was going to get signed. Saquon was going to get tagged. Yeah. But it wasn't official.
It's just official now. But again,
I thought we talked about it. Maybe that was me and Johnny Cruz. Got him on so many shows.
I don't even know. But look, 2 cents on here, we mentioned it. Look, good for the kid. He got paid. The market demands it. Whatever. He's got to step up, and he's got to show he's worth this kind of money, because he will get ripped a new one by the New York media and everybody else if he does not perform. And I'm sorry, but 15 touchdowns is not worth $40 million. But they had to do it, because now you can at least negotiate to get Saquon signed long term, because he's at least on the tag.
Well, I'd say this, like, it's the same similar situation. You're paid what somebody's willing to give you, and he got what he wanted, so he's worth that now. And it kind of reset the market. But my thing is too, who are they going to go get again? It goes back to who are they going to go get that's better than Danny Dimes right now?
Exactly. There was nobody better than him.
That's sad.
I would have took Teddy. I would have took Dalton.
I wouldn't have took Teddy. I wouldn't have took Teddy. Or Andy.
I'm not taking Andy Dalton or Daniel Dimes. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not taking Danny Dimes' upside is still younger. And he's faster, like, better. Like, give the kid some receivers and let's see what happens.
There's so much pressure on this kid now. There's so much pressure.
Well, that's quarterback in the NFL, baby. Like, and you're in New York. There's always going to be pressure.
New York, right? That's even better. Like, you just made the playoffs, right? With the first
and, you won a round.
You have to top it now. This has to be either meet or top. It can't be anything.
They have to get back to the divisional round again next
year.
Big time.
Yeah.
You have to. And you have to improve on your statistics. Like, realistically, have to improve on your statistics.
I mean, do heads roll in the first year of Danny Dimes?
No.
Let me ask you this. Who is the starting quarterback longer? Because is it Geno who signed the big 3-year deal, or is it Danny Dimes who signed the 4-year deal? Who's going to be their team's quarterback longer, Geno or Danny Dimes? Giants.
I'm going to go to Giants.
I think I'm going with Giants too, just because I think, you know, even though it's a 4-year deal, if he continues to improve and the team continues to win and they get to deeper in the playoffs, they may extend him and renegotiate everything so they can, you know, get more players in and everything. As we saw in Buffalo today, you know, guys are renegotiating their deals and restructuring contracts to have salary cap space. So, I mean, that's something. I just don't know. I think Seattle, the position that they're in, they'll probably end up somewhere down the road getting a future quarterback that's younger.
I think Richardson's the best fit there. You sit him behind Geno for 2 years, you see what you got, and, you know, I think they draft like fifth or sixth, and that would be a perfect spot for Richardson to go, who's still a project and got a shit ton of athletic ability, and you just let him develop 2 years behind Geno after that third, you know, that last year he's not worth anything on the books. So at that point in time, you can make the change.
Yeah. I mean, I just see we saw it in the past with the Giants sticking with their quarterback with Eli, no matter how bad Eli was.
Yeah, exactly.
They stuck with them. They're gonna do the same thing with Daniel Jones. No matter how bad DJ gets, they're still gonna stick with
them. Yeah, that's true.
Jim, real quick here before we do let you go, because I know you're probably short on time here. Let's talk about these Devils real quick. I'm just gonna let you brag about your team. You are currently tied for first with Carolina at 94 points. You guys passed them yesterday.
That is correct.
So, I mean, what's our feeling? Do you think you got Carolina's number, or do you think it's going to be just one of these back and forths for the rest of the year?
I mean, look, this is huge because New Jersey's not taking three games off the Hurricanes this season, you know, and that and that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Last night, watching the game, was a playoff game. It was felt like a playoff game. The Rock was packed. Prudential Center down in Jersey was, you know, they were rocking. And the guys stepped up. Like, the guys that needed to step up in big situations, the goalie, Vitek Vanacek, who hadn't had a great March, 32 saves shutout, big saves and big times. Jack Hughes, 3 points, a goal, two assists. Jesper Bratt, 2 goals. The guys stepped up when it mattered, and they wanted it more. They were hungry for this. And you know what? If they can continue to play well, put winning streaks together. Now, look, you know, Carolina got some tough news. Potentially, Andrei Svechnikov, one of their leading goal scorers and point getters, potentially has a torn ACL, could miss the rest of the season. That's a big blow to a Hurricanes team.
Yeah.
And if the Devils can continue this, they could end up with first place in the Metro. I think that's something that they're going to want, because I think they're going to want to avoid a first-round matchup with the Rangers. As much as I think they can beat New York, but if you can get that first, you maybe get 2 rounds of home ice advantage for a young team like that, that's going to big-time confidence boost for a team like New Jersey, who's playing really, really well right now. Now, they're finding different ways to win, even if they don't have their best. So it's really interesting and good to see a lot of, you know, Devils that really haven't had kind of this success in a long, long time. Best team on the road. You know, quick, you know, one of the better teams that they had in a long time. And I think, you know, they got to get at least out of the first round to have call it a successful year. But as they tell everybody now, you see this with a lot of the way the turnovers are and way teams go for it. These 5-year plans, unless you're like Chicago or something.
They're on a 10-year plan, Jim.
Yeah, they're on 10-year. They're on a 10-year plan. But if you're a team in contention that's growing and make moves to make the playoffs and you're in an upward trajectory, it's a year-to-year plan because you're going to want to win. Like, it's all about winning now. And I think you can see it that this team is ready to take another step this season.
I mean, playing a home playoff game in the first round is exactly what you want.
Exactly. You want game seven. You want game seven on home ice.
And this is a New Jersey team, correct me if I'm wrong, that has struggled with the playoffs these last 3-4 years.
I mean, they haven't made the playoffs since 2018. Before that, they hadn't made it Stanley. They hadn't made the playoffs since 2012, where they went to the Stanley Cup final. Before that, they had a nice run that started in like 1990. I want to say like 97 through like 2010. They made the playoffs like every year. So I mean, that's pretty good run for a team. And now they've struggled, but you can see they've gone through multiple rebuilds and retools, and they're finally, everything's starting to click for this team. So the Devils they're in a good position. And you know, and the rest of the rest of the Eastern Conference and the playoffs is just it's a gauntlet right now. I mean, you're looking at, you know, teams like the Islanders are right there. Pittsburgh's right there. You know, Ottawa's there, Florida. Who's going to hang on? Yeah. On the West, could Colorado? So I mean, Colorado's I think pounding Montreal right now. I think last time I saw it was like 6-2. Arturi Lehkonen, former Canadian, had
8-4, 3 minutes left.
8-4. Did Lehkonen complete? No, he did not complete the hat trick. But oh well, he's got 2 goals against his former club. But you know, Colorado was in a position potentially to be wild card. I think if Colorado gets in the way they're getting healthy, they're going to be a dangerous team. You know, Winnipeg picked up 2 big wins. In Florida, they beat the Panthers, and then they beat the Lightning. I mean, that's huge for them. You know, Calgary, you know, they're right there, but are they going to make it? I'm not sold on them, just inconsistencies. Right now, down the turnpike, we saw the change in Philadelphia with, you know, Chuck Fletcher getting fired on Friday. Daniel Briere is the interim GM. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But, again, they can't really move anybody because they have a lot of bad contracts. So it's going to be tough for them. But, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner, and the playoff races are heating up.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's going to be an exciting time. We're getting closer and closer. So, Jim, we'll let you go. Appreciate you joining, talking football with us, talking a little hockey. We'll catch you next Monday, dude.
Absolutely, see you, guys. See you, guys. Tanner, Nick, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Jim.
Take it easy, boys.
All right, guys, before I let my dog out, let's bring in the guy who's on early today. I like it. Jonathan Grishman. Jonathan, what's up, dude?
How's it going, fellas?
Good, man. Hey, good.
While Tanner's letting his dog out, Jonathan, I got a bone to pick with you. So, you know, I'm a huge MMA guy. You know, follow MMA, watch UFC, talk it all the in time, and tell me why Johnny Cruz comes to me and's like, hey, man, did you know Jonathan Grishman's mom was an MMA fighter? I said, what? He's like, yeah, only gives the hot scoops to the Johnny Cruz show. How many times he been on your show? He never told you that. So now I got to hear Johnny Cruz brag about how you gave him this cool scoop about your mom being an MMA fighter. And I'm over here talking MMA every week. You're on our dang show every week. You didn't mention one time that your mom is in the octagon cracking skulls.
I knew. I told Johnny I was going to get in trouble with you about that. I don't know how we didn't bring that up or how that didn't get brought up with you when I talked with you before and everything. But yeah, she was an 8-3 professional MMA fighter. She fought all the way down in the Gulf Shores down in Mississippi, in Biloxi, Gulfport, you know, around the New Orleans area as well. So my stepdad fought MMA as well. So that's how, you know, that's the gist of how they met and everything. But she fought for 3 years, and she fought at 40 years old. She retired when she was 42. So yeah, she spent some good time and had some good matches. She got a lot of trophies that are around the house. Not just my trophies and athletes. She's got a handful of hers own for her fighting days. One of them is when I was 13, you know, 12, 13 when she was fighting around that time. And one of the coolest things, and your friends come over and everything like that, and you're walking around the house and you see a trophy that says best ass kicker, and you go, yeah, that's my mom's.
hey, they was all acting right at your house. Hey, nobody giving your mama a hard time.
No.
I'm gonna put you to sleep for real.
She threw hands a couple of times. She goes, hey, y'all want to run your mouth? Let's get them up now. She threw hands a few times when we were younger. So yeah, it was definitely cool to have a mom that was, like I said, her record professionally was 8-3. One of the coolest stories I remember, she fought a former Navy SEAL, and actually made her tap out. So I mean, like she was, my mom was the real deal at that age, especially at 40 years old, being able to compete at that level with girls half her age. It was definitely a cool experience as a kid growing up to have.
Well, now we know where some of that athletic ability comes from. It comes from mama and daddy. So now we understand. Okay. Hey, all full circle here. Man, I was Johnny Cruz texted me that. I said, "What the?" He's like, "Yeah, you ain't know that." I said, "Nah, but now, hey, wait till Monday."
Right. I knew. I told Johnny, I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna be in trouble with Nick." I knew this. I know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it was cool. It's a cool experience. And I got to train a little bit when I was younger with my mom and just kind of learn self-defense and use it as a way to stay in shape. And, you know, it was awesome. It was cool. My mom never took me to her fights. That was one thing. I never got a chance to go actually see her fight. There was on, you know, I got to see video recordings and everything, but I never got to see her fight live. That was something that she didn't really want us to do or anything like that, which I thought that would have been the coolest thing, the awesome to be able to see. But real quick, I know we want to get, but there was one story there where mom's a nurse too. So there was one, all the guys that she trained with, they went to Biloxi, Mississippi. She was going to be essentially the team doctor, team nurse for them. And all of a sudden, one of the guys that she trained with goes, hey, I got a fight for you. And I goes, well, I don't have my gear. And I'm, it's verbatim what she said, I'm dressed cute. I don't want to fight. She goes, we got to fight for you here. It's like, well, I need gear. And my mom says, I'll only fight if you get me pink gloves and pink gear. Just kind of throw it off, because this was another Navy, like another, I think it was a Marine, this one, this fight was. She fought another military woman, and she goes, I want pink gloves. So they actually went to academy. They went and they found some pink gloves and you know, everything for her. And she goes, they asked her, like, are you going to clean yourself up? She goes, no, I'm going to leave the makeup on. And so she had makeup on, pink gloves, went out to go fight this girl who was in the military or was in the military, and KOs her in the second round.
Shit.
So she was a badass. My mom still is. My mom is still a badass to this day. I love that woman.
She watch anything still like that? She still follows the sport or anything?
Not as much anymore, but she still has. We still have friends that, you know, that were close to the family that still that don't fight anymore, but are more coaches now. They run gyms in my hometown around New Orleans. They, you know, so they do their own fight academy. So she stays in touch, but she, you know, she in recent years she hasn't really kept up with the sport as much.
Hey, Tanner, don't be messing with Jonathan's mama. She'll slap the shit out you and choke you out.
Not even cool. Playing on it, dude. Not even playing on it. I want none of that.
Before we get into it, USA lost to Mexico last night. What is going on with the USA team, Jonathan? What are we doing out here?
Pitching. I mean, we said that last week. It was that pitching was going to be the biggest question mark, right now it has. It doesn't help that your superstars are not hitting either. You're not scoring a lot of runs. And you see guys like Mookie struggling and Mike Trout struggling. Your big bats in the lineup, your superstar hitters, they're not producing like we were expecting them to do. But at the end of the day, pitching has got to get better. And Mexico teed off on USA pitching. That was something that was it a surprise? I don't really think it was a surprise. Did I expect them to run rule USA? No, I didn't expect that at all. But I mean, the pitching side has got to get better, and that's something that I don't think that USA has the quality that we would expect that they would have, considering the talent level that's there. But that was a shocker that it was a one-sided game completely like that. I don't think anybody really expected Mexico to just come out swinging like the way they did.
Not at all. I mean, that team was swinging the bat, and that's what you wanted to see. You know, that's kind of what they needed to do, honestly. So it was definitely an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, and I mean it's disappointing. It's disappointing because again, you're the defending champions. We haven't had a World Baseball Classic in 6 years. So you get a chance to really kind of get out there and reestablish yourself that hey, USA is still the kings of the sport, and you lose like that in your group. So I think that's disappointing. The pitching's just got to get better, and I don't know if they're gonna if they have the arms, the quality of the arms to get better in the tournament right now.
Correct. I mean, yeah, you're right there. It's gonna be interesting to see if they can bounce back here in the coming days. So not a lot of time left.
I mean, Canada. That's gonna be a good game tonight. Canada's been playing pretty well right now as well. So this, you know, the USA Canada game could be the game that determines who's advancing.
Yeah, you're right. Man, yeah. This we could see US not even making out of the pool play here. Possibly. I think we do, but I mean that's going to be tough.
Go probably up there to what was the what year was the Olympic basketball team that got third place?
2002 maybe?
Something like that.
I think 2004, cuz I think 2008 was the Redeem team.
Redeem team. So the 04 group.
I think
if USA baseball does not advance, you're talking about for the sport, that's the similarity to the 04 US basketball team not getting a gold medal and even finishing in third place, just kind of disappointing feeling to that standard of what we were expecting the USA baseball to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's hope not. Let's hope they figure life out tonight. Sorry, I guess. Is it tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight. Yeah.
They're like 10 o'clock or something like
yeah.
that.
Something weird. I knew it was late.
The times are awful for these games.
Well, they're not played in the U.S.
This one is, ain't it?
Yeah, they're in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, this one. The U.S. games are. I can see Japan and them not like those games, but these games are all played in the United States.
Yeah, you have Miami hosting games and Arizona's hosting games.
Okay. Oh, that's complete spectrum on the time zone.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, trying to grow the sport, right? Let's put USA Baseball at 10 o'clock at night to watch in the World Baseball Classic. Just great job, Major League Baseball, in the way that they did the scheduling.
Doing it.
That's
again.
What I say.
Way to go. And not let you watch the games, probably. Anyways, I won't get into that. So let's start here, guys. Today we are breaking down the AL Central. Those are my Royals. That was not a pretty sight last year. But, hey, we'll see. New coach, new staff, same people.
Going to be a new stadium soon?
Downtown stadium still in the works. They got it down to 5 locations now. So, you know, it's going to happen. Regardless of anybody wants it to or not, it's going to happen. So just
be. I hope they just have the fountains. Can they keep the fountains? Can the new stadium keep
I know,
the
right? I think in the rendition of it, the picture, it showed some fountains in right field still. So, which is, I think, that'd the iconic good. Part of it all.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see. I mean, again, I know that's the gist now is the downtown stadium, so you can build the entertainment area around the stadium and try to make them again. That's the Braves did that wonderfully with their Cobb County Stadium. But so I know that's the gist of being able to really have the entertainment side of it. I mean, but is that not something that they could do similar to building around Kauffman?
No, Kauffman's way out there. It's not way out there, but it's enough out there that it just wouldn't work out. Cause Kauffman right now, it's a bunch of, under what do you call it? The housing isn't the best at all around. Right. So, and then all you got really is a highway right there. You don't have much room. You'd have to literally buy out a bunch of retail stores or not retail, the fast food chains and the gas station, but there's still, it's just not enough land there.
But you have the Chiefs there too, though. Chiefs are neighbors. Right. So, yeah, I mean, right. you couldn't partner with, you couldn't do something. If you're the Royals, you couldn't do something with the Chiefs to kind of build something next, you know, around that area.
You would think, right? Like, or if not, at least still have a partnership, and it just goes. You know, well, if you are going to go somewhere, stay together.
Because that's again, let's go to the Cowboys here and Rangers here in Arlington. They got their stadiums right there. They just built. You know, you talk about 20 years ago, that area where those stadiums are now, that was nothing. I mean, you had some retail, you had some some little restaurants here and there, but they built. Basically, all of that on that land that they had for it, and it's grown tremendously in that area. So I didn't know. I mean, I've driven past when I remember when I was playing in college out there. I drove past Kauffman and Arrowhead a couple of times here and there when we went to Kansas to play. So I vaguely remember the area as much of what's around the stadiums if they have anything around the stadium.
Yeah, it's really not feasible. I'll be honest with you. Like if you're gonna put an entertainment, I mean, it's just not gonna work out there. It's just not a good spot. So, I mean, if they want to do it, like John Sherman, the owner, he's from Boston area. He's been with Cleveland before. He loves these downtown stadiums. That's why he wants the Royals to get a downtown stadium, because that's what he that's what he was upgrading essentially. So, and he's willing to throw money out on it. You know, create his own little shopping, retail shopping food district with the stadium on top of it.
Well, cutting payroll to be able to do that. I guess that makes sense again. Yep. So.
You know, you think David Glass would have done that before the World Series, but he didn't. So. We just had a bad team. That's all of us. Oh, man. All right, let's break it down here. Let's start with our Cleveland Guardians. They finished 92-70 last year. They finished on a two-game win streak, 7-3 last 10. 64 positive differential. For this team as well. If we look here at their transactions, they signed Mike Zunino, a catcher there, Josh Bell for a two-year contract, Brian Shaw from the White Sox for a one-year, $3 million contract there. And they didn't really lose anybody particular. Kirk McCarty, Oscar Mercado, Tyler Krager, I guess you could say. He went to the Braves there. Cam Hill, Sandy Leon for the catcher. So nothing spectacular on a needing to, lose anybody. Sorry. But this team's definitely an interesting one. As we look across the board here for this roster, honestly, I think they dominate the Central again. I don't think it's going to be, I think maybe the Twins will give them a push, but I'm not seeing much out of the other three. But what's your thoughts here? Jonathan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a sad division. I mean, besides what the Guardians and Twins have been carrying this division for the last couple of years. This is really, I mean, again, a two-team race, and Guardians being what they were the ones that have really stepped up and kind of elevated themselves to be that the class of this division. They have a lot of talent. Again, I think the Josh Bell signing for DH, and he's going to get some time at first base. Well, and that's going to be a good bat in that lineup. Take the pressure away from what he had in San Diego, because joining that lineup, he didn't really produce like they were hoping he'd be, like he was doing in Nationals. So I think he's going to be a good addition to this team and going to be able to really kind of bring that extra power bat that they want and kind of and need, and make that lineup even deeper and better. They got some good arms into their staff as well. So you kind of have a pretty well-rounded roster that was already a really good roster last year. And as you said, they didn't really lose anybody on this team, but you have been able to add some pieces that can help the quality of the players that you have, the depth that you have. And if you have depth on your roster, on your lineup, you're in a good position for this. So this is actually, I think, a sneaky team that could really push. And again, they had opportunities. They had opportunities in the playoffs. They just weren't as talented at that as well. That's another question. Are they as talented as the teams that will be in the playoffs in 2023? That's to be determined. We'll see that a little bit more as the schedule change now with a less division games. So you'll see them compete against those other teams more so. So how do they stack up to the Yankees, to the Astros, to those teams that are going to be contenders in the American League? That'll be something to be seen. But they're going to be a little bit better this year, at least as far as numbers wise and with the division. I think this is a little bit of a sneaky team to see.
I kind of agree, Nick. What you got?
I think last year they were the youngest team, right? Like as far as like to win the division, fielded the youngest team. I think I got this team kind of repeating as champs. You just don't know everybody. I trust them and their manager. Terry Francona is one of the best managers in all of baseball year in and year out. So they bring back 7 starters. They added Josh Bell, like you said, and Mike. They played really good defense. I'm just kind of looking at their rankings here. All 5 starters of the rotation are back. They got an elite defense behind them. So I think this team, again, man, I'm looking at some of this, what their rankings, their bullpen ranking, people had 2nd, defense ranking 2nd, overall power ranking 9th, best team in all of baseball. I like this team, man. I think they're going to win this division easily again.
Yeah. And not even talking about the MVP candidate they have in Jose Ramirez and what he's been able to establish himself as well. So, I mean, that's that you have the superstar that's lights out, one of the best hitters in baseball, who's not getting that in the recognition. You know, so you have the MVP candidate. You have a deep lineup. They can make some noise. You know, it's in the American League overall. And I agree. I think they're the best team in the division.
No, I agree with you guys. This Cleveland team is always, I mean, even if they start slow again, they're still one of the hottest or still one of the best ones out there.
I think last year they were the youngest team and then had the most different lineups of any team in all of baseball, and they still managed. That just shows you how good Terry Francona is, man. Oh, yeah. The guy just doesn't get enough credit. I think he's one of the best managers in all of baseball.
Agreed on that. Absolutely. Francona should be a Hall of Fame coach Hall of Fame manager here pretty soon for what he's done, not only with the Red Sox, but what he's done here in Cleveland too. So, and I agree, he should be recognized as one of the best managers in baseball right now.
Agreed. All right, let's hit our next team up here. Chicago White Sox, 2nd place, believe it or not. 81-81, minus 31 differential. 5-5 was the last 10. I mean, that's crazy to me. Elvis Andrews, shortstop, was the signing there. Andrew Benintendi with a big 5-year, $75 million contract there. Mike Clevinger. Josh Harrison. No other really big names. Liam Hendricks for relief pitching as well. Got signed last, that's 2021. So, yeah. That was it there. Nobody really left except for the big guy.
Abreu.
That's it. Yeah, that was really the only big loss they had.
They went and got Mike Clevinger. That was a decent signing for them.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, that's kind of what they needed. So looking here across the board at this White Sox team, honestly, I'm looking across here, and it looks like a team that's probably not going to produce a lot of power, but they're going to come in to the clutch situations. They're going to win those 3-2 ball games because they're going to be able to get guys on base. As far as the pitching goes, I think this is another pitching staff here that should be pretty decent, but it's going to be up to the offense. You know, how can they score runs? Can they support them? They're not going to sit here and strike everybody out. You saw their last year, 16th earned runs, 5th in batting average, 19th in runs. year. And I mean, they're missing a big key piece on offense. So what's your thoughts, Jonathan?
Well, this was one of the most disappointing teams in 2022.
And the most disappointing team.
No.
I picked them last year to win the division and basically run away with the division. And they had issues beyond the field as well with La Russa manager and the issues that he had with this group, last year. So you bring in a new manager, you're trying to establish a new culture. Losing Abreu is going to be the biggest thing. And talking about an MVP candidate, for the White Sox, who was the leader of this team. That's going to be the question, is who's now the leader of this group? Because, nothing against Tim Anderson, but Tim Anderson is still a little immature to be that leader. You have Yoan Maeda, you have Luis Robert, but they're not healthy, though. So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks with this lineup that not just beyond the run scoring part is like, can they produce the level to compete with the Guardians? Can they produce the level to compete with the Twins and do what they can do on offense? So yeah, the pitching is getting better. You have Clevinger, but is he still, one of the better pitchers of the game right now? And that's something to be determined too. I have that feeling of him that, I don't know what he's going to be. Is he going to be a guy who potentially be a number one, or is he going to be the middle of the rotation kind of arm? So there's a lot of question marks with this team. I don't have any confidence really of this group just yet, unless they show that the culture has changed from what they dealt with 2 years with La Russa to what we hope to see from this group now. There's a lot of talent still in this team, though. That's the disappointing part about it, is that this is probably top to bottom talent wise one of the better parts of the teams in the Major League Baseball. But can they put it together and come together as a team to compete in this division and challenge the Guardians for that title? And that one I don't really know right now. That's to be seen if the culture has truly changed in the White Sox favor to be able to do that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Jonathan. They have, like, you look at this roster, at one time it's this potential, right? Like, I mean, we're waiting for all these guys to make the next step. Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada. Like, when are they taking this next step? When are they going to, be the guys that we thought they were going to be and be these talented players? Tim Anderson, even Andrew Benintendi. It feels like he's just been, like, never been, like, he was hyped up as this great prospect. Well, and
I mean, he was the big really now. Yeah, I mean, he was a really high hitting guy for the Royals, and then when he went to what was that, Toronto last year, Yankees last year.
Yankees.
I mean, this is a guy that's kind of broken out in the last couple of years, and this is his time. He's got his money, it's locked. It's time. I think it's time for him to really show, like, hey, this is what I'm all about since the Red Sox.
I do like their pitching staff. Dylan Cease is a bona fide stud. You got the aging Lance Lynn, but Lucas Giolito is still pretty good. Mike Clevinger and Michael Kopecka, their starting staff is pretty darn good, 1 through 5. But it'll just be up to whether that lineup can live up to the hype that we all thought that at one point in time that these guys were. I think they could make second place and maybe make the wild card, but we just don't know after the whole Tony La Russa batch what happened there and what's going to happen going forward.
I'm not as high on the pitching staff as you, Nick. I think, again, you have good arms, but again, are they quality arms to compete for a division title? And that's what we did. We didn't see that last year when you had.
No, and Cece was almost a Cy Young winner. Was that last year or the year before?
I think it was the year before. I could be wrong. But again, that's one weird guy, though. Again, I'm talking about the whole staff.
Yeah.
The whole staff where they just didn't cut it when they needed to be able to do so. Again, I know they had a lot of off the field issues with them in the clubhouse and be able to deal with that. Again, that's going to be the biggest question, is can they. Do they get past that and create the new culture with the new manager that they've moved on from La Russa? That's going to be the biggest question mark of this team, more so than what they do off the field. But as far as the pitching staff again itself, as a whole, I mean, again, Cease, good arm. He's had some struggles here, but he's had moments where he's one of the best pitchers. I know Giolito can as times has looked really good, but matching up to what the Guardians and even the Twins at times, what they put on the mound, I don't have the optimism that they can be that kind of team to contend for the division. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen it when they were at their best talent wise. They fell flat. you lose a lot of – you lose a big piece to that team, to the culture that what you were trying to be, despite La Russa, do you have someone who's going to fill that in? That I have to see on the field, and I'm not optimistic that that's going to be the case.
I'm with you there. It's definitely a team – like I said, it's probably going to be one of those things where they – when they win ball games, it's going to be a very close ball game. It's going to be a little scoring too.
You got them getting third or second, Jonathan, the White Sox.
I got them third. I just don't have confidence that they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be better than the Twins. Honestly, I don't think they're going to be better than the Guardians.
Yeah. I got them two. I'll give them the two spot.
I got the two, or I got Chicago at the three.
I completely soured up last year. Like I said, they were
They were the favorite last year.
Well, they were my dark horse to contend for American League pennant. I mean, I didn't pick them to be to win the pennant, but I think they were talented enough to compete with the Astros, and they fell flat. They fell completely flat. So I soured on them. They have a lot to prove to me this year before I say, you know what, that they're going to be a contender now.
All right, real quick before we move on here to the next team, we got Tufel out here. Tufel, what's up, dude? He goes, I refuse to acknowledge them as the Guardians. Fair enough. Twofold, thanks for checking in. Appreciate you. All right, guys, let's move on here. Now, we talked about the White Sox being disappointed. Here's my disappointing team of last year, just because of the way they were the entire year until the very last month and a half. The Minnesota Twins finished third last year. Third, 78-84. They were first, by the way, for like – at least everything until August, and then they collapsed. By the way, just before I continue, all right, continue. 78-84 last year, they were a 12 positive differential, and yet still was underneath the White Sox. 4-6 is what they finished in the last 10. If we kind of look at their signings, obviously Carlos Correa came back, Joey Gallo joined them, Christian Vasquez, Chris Archer. I mean, Donovan Solano, but they also lost Luis Arraez, first base, and Christian Jimenez. So, I mean, there's a couple casualties.
But and honestly, it's Pablo Lopez. I mean, that was their big trade to bring in Pablo Lopez.
Pablo Lopez, yeah. I forgot about him. No, he's still on the team.
No, that's what I mean. They traded for him. Yeah.
Twofold's out here says, I need a new baseball team. I'm still searching.
Who's your old baseball team?
I'm pretty sure he lives in Colorado, but.
You're a Rockies fan? But he roots for the Chiefs. I don't know if he's a Rockies guy. Is he a Royals fan?
You know,
oh, he's a Rockies fan. Nah, sorry, Twofold.
Yeah, sorry, Twofold. Yeah. We covered that a couple shows ago. Sorry, dude. So let's look at this roster here. We'll bring it up. Across the board here. Now, I think Joey Gallo is a great addition here. Max Kepler over there. Carlos Correa coming back is huge. Jorge Polanco. I love this offense here. My only question is Byron Buxton, right? This is a guy, when he's on the field, he's really good. He's considered one of the best in the league, but that's the issue, is when he's on the field. This guy's been injured for multiple weeks and multiple seasons here. Still, I think he has 2 or 3 years left on his deal. This is a guy that this is really up to the – I mean, this is how the Twins get past their – whatever they do at the end of the year, fall off, is that Byron Buxton stays healthy for the whole year. I think the pitching staff's going to be all right. I like the relief pitching, but I'm really concerned on, I guess, the health of it, right? Carlos Correa failing those multiple physicals, and then Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton has to stay healthy. This is the difference maker for this team. What you got, Jonathan?
I agree about Buxton. I mean, he's a superstar that the Twins have, and you know he's not been able to stay healthy for a full season. But again, I will say this: the Twins with the Carlos Correa, all the debacle that took place this offseason, the Twins look like geniuses because they let him walk. They got him on basically on a 1 year deal last year, and it was a 2 year that turned into a 1 year. Let him walk, go through the market. Well, the market collapsed on him after the 13-year, $300-plus million deals that fell apart. And they got him on I know $200-something million still is a lot of money, but based off the value that he was trying to get, they got him on in a pinch on a dime, basically. So
on that deal too, right? So the Twins initially offered him the same exact deal he ended up signing for.
Yeah.
You know, and it's – It's amazing how it came full circle, I mean, all the way genius. Back.
Genius is about it, and they were ready to pounce when the opportunity came for them. So I mean, they look like dang geniuses to be able to do it. I will say that about Buxton, though. Again, Buxton is a superstar for this team that he's got to be able to stay. But I think adding Michael Taylor as a backup is a good option to have. Taylor's played well at times. He's a really good defensive outfielder. That if Buxton does go down, he's not going to be Byron Buxton, but he can be a serviceable backup to at least accommodate a time off that Buxton may have throughout the year. I think the pitching staff with Sonny Gray, is going to be very intriguing. I think that's going to be better, a better staff than what they've had in the last couple of years. Adding Pablo Lopez is a very underrated addition to this team, who at times is one of the better pitchers. If Sandy Alcantara wasn't with the Marlins, Pablo Lopez is considered the best pitcher on that team. And so you add him to this rotation, you add him with Sonny Gray, what you got from him, you have a little bit more depth-wise. And that's something that I think the Twins needed in the rotation was better depth to compete with the Guardians, along with the offensive side of adding guys, having Christian Vasquez behind the plate is going to help. Gallo may have a bounce back year. We don't really know, depending on how the shift moves. We see that the teams found a way to still do the shift on Gallo despite the limits on the infield shifts that they've done. But if they kind of cut that and they have a straight field, Gallo can find a way to hit the ball, but be above 200 or 220 in his average and still hit the ball a long way in Minnesota. So this is a little bit of a scary team that has potential to challenge the Guardians, and I expect them to have a bounce back year despite the collapse they had. As you said, they were first place team majority of the season. Guardians caught them in the back end as well in September. They just completely fall off the cliff. I don't see this team with what they have depth-wise. If they stay healthy, and that's a big if for this group, if they stay healthy, they not only will pass the White Sox, but I think they can challenge the Guardians for a division title.
Nick?
I do like the Michael A. Taylor signing. I don't like their pitching staff as much as – I like the White Sox pitching staff more than I like the Twins pitching staff. I just think that I like those guys a lot better. That's kind of why I got the Sox at 2 here and the Twins at 3, just because I can't buy into this pitching staff. And we've seen a team, once they have started to that tailspin, it sometimes carries over into the next season, and they continue to go downward spiral. I think it could happen again this year. I'm not buying into the Twins yet. I do kind of like their lineup. I just like the potential. I know we say that about the White Sox and how disappointing they were a year, but I like the White Sox potential with their pitching and their hitting better than I like the Twins. So that's just kind of why I got the Twins at the 3 spot here.
Well, but here's what I mean. How motivated right now is Carlos Correa after what he went through this offseason?
Or maybe how unmotivated he is because now he's got his money. No, don't it don't matter.
But he lost money. He still lost money.
Yeah, that's the doctor's fault. Well, that's the Mets' dumbass fault for getting the same doctor that failed him. We already had this conversation. I mean,
but let's focus on the Correa side where he went and lost money for an injury that happened 9 years ago. You don't think he's going to have it in his head saying, "I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. I'm going to be the best shortstop in baseball." I think he's motivated to prove that he's one of the top guys still. And despite the reports of the leg and everything like that, he's going to come out on fire this year. And I think it's a little bit scary to think that if Correa can even be better than what he has been in his career, that's going to be a huge boost for that lineup for the Twins even more so. If he comes out with some anger and is motivated, you're talking about maybe an MVP candidate for the American League for Correa.
Well, here's the counter argument is that how many times we've seen guys get paid big money and then they press too much because they're that pressure of trying to show that they're worth that big money and it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, just playing devil's advocate, that could very easily happen. He could have his worst career, season of his career.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, that's fair to say. I don't think it's likely. I mean, again, you talk about for guys who get their money and they fall off a cliff. When you're a superstar and you've been a superstar and you get your money, nothing changes.
We'll see.
I mean, Correa's been a superstar. He's been a superstar for it. He lost. You lose $100 million plus to what you were supposed to get you're a little angry right now. You're a little angry about it, and you're just like, I'm going to show y'all that I should have gotten that money despite the reports and despite what the doctor said. I'm going to show you guys what I'm really about. So I think that's – you see more guys with that. You're absolutely right. You see guys who – they're satisfied, and they get fat off that $100 million, $200 million, and they're just like, oh, it is what it is. I mean, we saw that with Pablo Sandoval when he got that contract with the Red Sox.
Yeah, he ate it.
He no pun intended about getting fat on a $100 million deal. He did. He enjoyed every bit of that contract. But you'll have guys that are that, and you will have guys that are just like it's no big deal. It's the same. It's business as usual. I think in this case we're going to see more so of Carlos Correa saying this is business as usual, but the business has got picked up because of the fact of what I lost this offseason and those reports about my leg.
That big long contract and all that money. Yep. That's what it'll do. So I'm with you there. All right. Let's keep going. Hey, guys, did you know we're not to the worst team yet? Believe it or not. Detroit Tigers finished after the Minnesota Twins. 66-96 was the record. -156 differential. Okay.
My guy, El Mago, baby.
6-4 the
last game. Oh,
man, I can't believe we're not talking about the Royals yet. Trevor Rosenthal, relief pitcher, signed there. Kind of going down the way, DJ Peters, Jonathan Davis, Cesar Hernandez came into play. Andrew Knapp, Kervin Castro in December.
I mean, we could talk about both these teams all at the same time and say they both absolutely stink and flip a coin on who's going to finish dead last. The Royals or the Tigers. Guys.
Like this isn't pretty. Javier Baez, you know, getting that big.
Hey, don't you badmouth my guy, El Mago. Only I'm allowed to.
I'm not. That. I like Javier Baez. Austin Meadows.
Hey, remember the movie Major League? And they're reading the roster, and they say, "Who the fuck are these guys?" That's how I feel about when I look at the Tigers and the Royals roster. Who the hell are these guys?
We got a couple guys on the Royals when we get there, but like this Tigers team. What? How did they not finish last? And remember, Jonathan, you and I, when we did the A's, right? We did the A's. They were worse in runs. Yep. And they were last in runs. And yet, we're not talking about the Royals yet. So, all right. Tigers, obviously, not much really went on for this team. I don't think I got any better. They lost, the retirement of the legend, Cabrera, and that's about it. So what's your thoughts?
Cabrera didn't retire.
He didn't retire. This is his last year.
Yeah, this is his last
year. Oh, that's right. I was off a year. Sorry. I thought he was retired.
I mean, he should have retired is what you should have said.
Well, yes. But what's your thoughts, Jonathan?
I mean, well, in that aspect of it, this season is going to be the Miguel Cabrera tour. This is, and that's basically all it's going to be.
Unlike Albert Pujols.
To an extent, but I mean, all you're going to the Tigers game is to see Miguel Cabrera. You're not seeing a winning team. Like, you're going to see Miguel Cabrera play his last season. Everybody's going to be, telling stories about, their favorite Cabrera story in Detroit. They're going to talk about you'll go see when he travels to other cities and other teams that what are they going to give him? Kind of like what they, the whole, hey, we're going to celebrate your career. That's essentially what this season is for the Tigers. They have some decent players. Are they in a step up, or are they moving in the right direction? I mean, that's to be seen. They have some fill-ins what they see, with Jonathan Shoup at second base. I'm sorry, I'm going to hurt your feelings, Nick. Javi Baez is not in my book, not an addition that you can sit there and be happy about. Javi Baez, in my opinion.
Well, they gave him a shit ton of money. No, I don't agree with that part. I was surprised he went to Detroit.
Money talks.
Yeah, maybe that kind of money. I'll go to Detroit and suck for the next
year. I'd go sign with Detroit, and I enjoy my vacations in the off season at that point too. So, but Baez is not someone who's going to elevate this team and kind of move them up to at least the top three, top two.
Fun to watch though, Danny. He's fun to watch at least.
He is, but I mean, okay, but what does he do great? What does it mean? He's a
He's a below average shortstop. He's been that way. And I'm sorry, I'm going to hurt your feelings again. He's been that way.
No, I think he's a better second. I actually think he's a better second baseman.
When
he played second base for us, I thought that there wasn't a better second baseman in the that would play the field.
I agree with that. He's a below average shortstop. He's not a good shortstop, and I don't understand where the thought
process. He's a horrible hitter. That's the problem too. He always has been. He loves them way outside pitches. He'll swing at them. Jonathan, you could pitch back with your left hand and throw it outside 90 feet, and he would still swing at it. You could get Javi Baez to strike out.
Maybe I wouldn't go that far on it.
Yeah, I would. I've seen him. I've seen him swing at some shit. Out of what the hell are you swinging at?
But like I said, this is the Miguel Cabrera tour. That's what this season is going to be for Detroit. They'll get a lot of sellout crowds just because of it, because you want to see the legendary Cabrera plays last season, and then before he goes to the Hall of Fame in 5 years. There's not much to really run off of this team. Again, Spencer Torkelson he's got promising stuff and what he's going to be. For this team, but as far as but for the future though, and that's beyond 2023, 2024, maybe 2025, you may see something like they could be in the right direction for this team. But 2023, it's all celebrating Cabrera, and that'll be all what it is.
Yep,
that's all it's gonna be.
I mean, what are they plus? What does that say? 125,000 to win the championship.
That's +12,500.
Jesus.
And that's the AL championship. So, yeah. And that's just to get to the championship. This is the big one. So, obviously, they're a little far away. I don't know, Nick. You got anything else for these guys?
Nah, they stink.
They stink. Well, I hate to break it to you, but we got one team that stinks even worse. By the way, I guess we'll do it after this Royals. We'll do this after this Royals team, because this Kansas City Royals team finished dead last in this division. They fired everybody. They got new coaching staff. They got new coaches out there. They brought in some guys. So we'll see here. My team, the Kansas City Royals. So we finished 65-97. -170 differential, 3-7 their last 10. Their transactions, honestly, you might as well just make fart noises, but our oldest Chapman came into play. By the way, my little brother, he was down there watching the Brewers and Royals play, and my middle brother said he was pumping 102, and he was looking good. So, I don't know. Maybe good trade bait later. Zach Greinke re-signed. We signed Jackie Bradley Jr. to a
minor. Those are all great moves 5 years ago, Tanner.
I know. I'm aware. Trust me. I'm aware. You don't have to tell me the story. So let's take a look here at this Royals team. Looking across the board, a lot of minor league guys coming up into play. Edward Olivares was really good last year until he got hurt. Hoping he comes back stronger and better there. Hunter Dozier needs a bounce back year. Bobby Witt Jr., he looked really good last year. Hopefully he can just continue working and getting into speed there. Vinny Pascatino, big hitter, was one of the guys that kept sending up and down all year long. But when he was in the majors and the minors, this guy was hitting bombs until he got hurt as well. So hopefully they can stay healthy. And then Salvador Perez, what else can you say about Salvi there? As far as the pitching side, Brady Sr., honestly, is the best pitcher on this team, and he could be at least number two, number three on a lot of different teams as well. Outside of that, not really fancy on that. Josh Staumont, Amir Garrett still coming to play for the relief side, and Aroldis Chapman as our closer if he sticks around. So look, this Royals team, I wanted more on the pitching. I wanted more, I guess, effort around the pitching. So it's going to be interesting because we got a lot of young guys that's coming up here in this play. So Jonathan, what you got for these Kansas City Royals?
So it didn't give you a little bit of confidence that Brady Singer guy absolutely got lit up last night against Mexico either.
Great.
Yes. you talk about young talent. They have, again, Bobby Witt, who's from the Fort Worth area here. He's grew up about 20 minutes from where I'm at currently right now. He's very bright future and making of a superstar if he continues in that path. You know, so and I say that you have, again, you've got decent pieces. It's just a matter of developing them and continuing that direction to try to go. I agree they're going to have some trade pieces that, you know, again, Chapman is probably Chapman's not the, you know, in, is the long-term play for the Royals, especially this season. He's a trade bait. You sign him, hope he regains form of what he was, and you can trade him to a contender for some more prospects, get a little bit of extra cash thrown in, and then be able to kind of use that money later on in the year, in the offseason of 2023 to go to 2024. Actually, and you may feel a little differently, I think Salvador Perez could be on that list as well as a potential trade piece, just because you got it. You can, I mean, he's not a piece that's going to help you win right now. You know, he's your best player on the team. He's your best player on the field. Utilize what he's going to be. If he can bring you some more players and more prospects to get a little bit younger and a little bit more talent-wise as well, I think that's an option that you have to look into. Yeah. And I think that's going to be hard. That's almost Wilson Contreras type for the Cubs, looking at that aspect of. So, and I'm sure
MJ Melendez is a good bat behind him too. A good catcher. He showed it last year when he had to fill in during Salvi's injury. It's not a bad replacement, you know what I mean? Yeah. Going to a younger guy by any means for this team.
And even so, I mean, again, I'm sure Nick and the Cubs fans, well, all Cubs fans will say they probably should have traded Wilson when they had the opportunity in the 2022 season, just to say, hey, we're going to better the team instead of letting him play out and then losing him in free agency. I don't know Perez's contract status for the right now, but at the same time, you know, if you can get some pieces to continue to get the depth on this roster, that's what you need to do. Because again, you're not playing for 2023. You're kind of like the Tigers. I said that you're playing for 2025. Royals are playing for 2025. I'm not so sure 2024 is in their realm. 2025 is something where you really look at yourself and say, we can be a contender in 2 years, 3 years. Salvador Perez is not going to be that for you. So they have some trade pieces that you can really say, if you go perform and we'll get something for you and we'll put you on a contender and you can go win you a ring and, you know, continue your career on from there. But the young guys they have, like I said, they got a nice little nucleus of young guys too that they can hopefully build over the next couple of years, starting with Bobby Witt Jr. being that key piece.
Yeah, Salvi is under contract through the 2026 season, will be a free agent come 2027.
So maybe I'm wrong as far as keeping him, you know, unless he just says I want to be on a contender, which that's very possible, because right now they're not a contender this year. They won't be a contender in 2024, 2025 they may be. So does Salvi want to stay for 2 years of losing to wait for 20? Yeah, so that'll be the conversation, I'm sure, and with the respect they have for Salvi, I'm sure they'll sit down and say, well, you know, you can stay and be part of the rebuild for the next 2 years and then reap the benefits when you're in 2025, 2026, when your contract's almost up, and we'll figure out how to do what you need to do, or let's go ahead and move you now. Because you can get with that kind of contract, you can get a pretty good haul of prospects, because that's control. You have 3 years of control with them. So a team is going to be like, hey, we get to have Salvador Perez, who's one of the top catchers in baseball now. We'll definitely do that. So we'll give you three top prospects and probably a couple mid prospects to fill in and say, hey, we'll make a deal then. So that's a very favorable contract that you have to make a deal at the deadline this season and really benefit the team in the future.
Don't forget, new front office. New coaching staff. People aren't there to protect Salvi that you know, had him throughout the last 10 plus years. So,
yeah, but
you got to remember that too.
But at the same time, they're not those guys who they brought into the front office and coaching staff. They know who he is. They know what he means to the team. They know what he means to the franchise. So it doesn't get unnoticed anymore. Just because a new group, a new regime takes over, you know, it's not like football in the NFL where a new coach comes in, a new front office. Hey, we appreciate your time. We'll send you somewhere, and hey, we'll talk to you at some. We'll see you on the vacation. Baseball is a little bit different as far as how they treat the veterans of their franchises and say, hey, you know what, you've been a mainstay here. We'll give you a chance. We'll give you an opportunity, and if it doesn't work out, well, you're not happy. We will do what's best for you at that point. We'll make a deal that's going to benefit us. But we'll do a deal that's going to benefit you. We see that all the time in baseball. We don't see that in other sports. We don't necessarily see that in. But baseball, you see that quite a bit.
Fair enough. Nick, what you got?
I'm kind of with Jonathan on here. I think Salvi's perfect trade bait. He's a veteran guy that could help a contending team. at the trade deadline, and he's got, you know, a couple more years under contract. He's kind of right. Like, if the Cubs would have done that with Wilson a couple years ago, we would have got more and back from him. But I mean, I was always hoping we'd extend him. Obviously, that never happened. So I kind of got the Royals here. I mean, you can flip a coin again. Who's going to finish dead last in this division? Tigers or Royals? It'll be interesting. I mean, for you, Tanner, it's going to be good because you'll be able to go to Royals games real cheap. So, especially when they play the Tigers for about $10. So,
what do you say?
I'll say this. I think this team has more youthful talent than what the Tigers do. Tigers have some veterans, but they've got veterans that have kind of fallen off in their career right now, whereas you have a youthful group here. So, I think they're going to take the – and with that, you're going to see these kids start elevating – Tigers have guys who are declining. So if everything kind of goes in the right direction for the Royals, I think they'll be in the right direction to at least, again, I say that right direction as far as being better than what they were last year. They won't. I don't think they'll be a last place team. I think they will pass the Tigers. I think, again, Tigers just set themselves up to basically just make it the Miguel Cabrera show. Royals are trying to get younger. They're trying to get better with their youth. And again, you have decent kids on this team that are going to, if they continue to develop, they can be something here in the next few years. That's what they're competing. When you're a young prospect that you're getting a chance with the big leagues, you know you're not necessarily playing for now. You're playing for your future with the club. Correct. Because you're under control. You already know you're under control. At some point, you're not really guaranteed. So you're playing to try to establish yourself for the future with this team. So unless you're Bobby Witt, which Bobby Witt is going to be part of this team for the now and future. But young kids on this team, they're playing to be part of the future conversation. So I don't see the Tigers in that same category that they're in at the Royals. So I think this Royals team will be better than what they were last year. They'll be better than the Tigers and in a better direction future-wise over the next 2 to 3 years.
I'm with you there. I think the team for sure won't finish last, but I think it's going to be up to the pitching again because we saw games where there were lights out, and we saw games that they were giving up, you know, it seemed like 13 runs in the first inning. So it's going to be all about what happens on that pitching staff. I'm not too concerned on the offensive side.
And just go a step further as far as for Bobby Witt. I mean, they were talking about this in the broadcast last night. I mean, Royals sent him to the World Baseball Classic to be on that roster, you know, and say, hey, even if you don't play, which you probably won't, you get to be around – Hall of Famers, you get, you know, go work with Ken Griffey Jr. on your hitting. Go talk with Mike. Go with Mike Trout. Go talk with Mookie Betts. Go talk about what it's like to be a professional baseball player at the major league level. Go talk to those guys, the Hall of Famers, and ask them what it's like and what it was like for them. Go learn. You see guys like, I mean, we had that with a dream team in the 90s where they sent Christian Laettner basically to go play. You're not going to play on that team, but you're going to learn what it's like to be a professional. Right. Bobby Witt, go be on the team. You're not going to play over those guys. You're not going to be a shortstop for them. You're just going to be there, but go learn what it's like to be a professional from some of the best guys in the game today and the best players in the game of the past that's on that staff as well, and see what that does for him. I think that's going to be a huge boost, not just for this season for Bobby Witt, but as well as for the future for his career.
Fair enough. All right. I think we're ready to call it here. Jonathan, you got anything good coming up this weekend? Tournaments?
Yeah, we have one of our teams playing, my younger 14U teams in action. We had four teams this past weekend. It was a very busy weekend for me, driving all over the Metroplex here in Dallas-Fort Worth. We had some exciting games, exciting team. Our teams got some opportunities. We had our 10U team finishing fourth out of 20 teams this past weekend. That little group. Those girls on that team are absolutely fun to watch. They're exciting. They play some good ball. So I love that group very much, just because, again, they are scrappy and they play well. Our 12U team has some growing pains. There's still a new group that they're getting kind of their feet wet with us. I got to be on a baseball field coaching again this past weekend, helping out my 14U baseball team. That was a lot of fun. And I'm, you know, it's been 5 years since I had the opportunity to coach baseball in select. So I got a chance to kind of reestablish that part and be like, oh, that's what it's like to coach baseball. Okay, yeah, that's fun. Yeah. So we had a lot of games, a lot of opportunities this weekend. Like I said, we have one team playing this weekend, so a little bit of a slower slower weekend so I can get some rest a little bit and catch up on some sleep after the daylight savings time this past weekend, everything. So, but I only have to be at one ballpark versus being at three or four like I was this past weekend. So things slow down a little bit for me to hear and then ramp back up for the next week after that.
Often. Awesome. Alpha Performance sounds like it's undergo. It's baseball time.
Taking names and kicking ass.
Our high school girls are still going. We had another girl hit two home runs back-to-back this past weekend for her high school. We had another girl who, she's been – we've had hot – they're hot bats right now. It's crazy how these girls are really going at it. I'll give a shout-out. One of our 10U girls threw a perfect game this past – on Saturday this past weekend as well. Lights out as can be. So the future is bright for these girls and what we have in the organization. I mean, the boys played well this weekend. We had the number one seed and that we played in the tournament and had them as a 5-2. We had a 5-2 lead going into the last inning and just ran out of gas. But I mean, I was like, hey, your first tournament, you're able to push that number one seed team like that to where they had to put their number one guy for y'all. Hey, you're doing something right on that case. So, future's bright. I'm excited. I love the direction we're heading with all the teams in the organization, the growth that these kids are showing. That's what it's about, and that's what it's going to continue to be about for as long as I'm running this program.
Love it. Love hearing it, dude. So we'll definitely reach out. I'll be paying attention on the Facebook for sure on that.
Oh yeah.
Always like seeing the when you're over there standing with the ball with one of the girls or hopefully see some of the boys in there. Hitting bombs too.
We're getting there. I got some more work to do with those boys, but I mean, they see it and they're starting to see, they're starting to believe a little bit more. And I tell them, like, look, I work with hitters. That's my thing. I mean, I love working on hitting as much as I do like working with my pitchers too for baseball. Hitting is my forte. I'll teach hitting all day. So they're starting to see and believe a little bit more with what I'm trying to teach them. I just say it takes time. It takes time for you to really see and get the muscle memory of what I'm working with you on. So they're here pretty soon. They'll see and benefit a lot more, and they're going to start scoring a lot more runs here in the next couple of tournaments.
Awesome. Awesome. Can't wait to see it. All right, Jonathan, we'll let you go. Appreciate you joining, talking baseball with us. Well,
hey, see you, Jonathan.
Next week, dude.
As always, appreciate it, guys.
Tell your mom, Jonathan, not to beat nobody up this weekend.
We'll do on that.
See you, dude.
See y'all.
Jonathan Grishman, everybody. Oh, man. That was a good one. So, Nick. I want to know, because I don't think I'm going to talk to you beforehand. Who's your prediction to get upset first in the NCAA tournament?
To be upset first. Well, that leads me to next Wednesday, on Wednesday's show, special Wednesday show, March Madness preview, myself, Johnny Cruz, the return of Scott Cobb back on the LTS network, and Keith Engolf. So will be joining us. So we're going to be breaking down all the brackets. We're going to fill out the bracket online. So we'll be going over everything. And I filled out one. I think I filled out one. I filled out like kind of just like a wild one, just like an upset one.
See, I haven't done any yet. That's what I'm doing tonight.
I have. But other than that, and then I kind of filled out my unofficial, like official one. That's not really the upset one. Let me look. Let me see my first big upset before we get out of here. You would ask me that. Now I'm not prepared.
I would.
Shit. I don't know. Where we got a bracket challenge here, maybe? Here we go.
You got it?
All right. Yep, I got it. So let's see. You always got to have a 12 beating a 5. Happens every year. So
correct.
I don't really think that's really that big of a deal. I'm just kind of looking at my first round. So, I don't see like any major upsets in the first round. I mean, and this was at first glance and I might, how the week goes.
You keep looking and looking and looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Convincing yourself. My big one is Iona over UConn.
I could see that.
Beating the Huskies before he goes to, St. John's.
Ooh, is he going to St. John's? I thought
rumors.
Yeah, yeah.
I think West Virginia over Maryland's another one, and then my other big one was Charleston over San Diego State.
Okay.
Those are my three that I'm looking at. Of course, I'll keep looking at it and making official picks, but I'm just curious if you had
Iowa State. I got Iowa State beating Xavier. Six like beating a three there.
I like that one.
I got Miami all the way. Miami beating Indiana. Miami beating Houston in the Sweet 16.
Miami with a questionable injury winning like that?
Elite Eight. They're in the Elite Eight. I got their senior-laden team. Jim Larrañaga's been there and done that. They always got a good squad. I got them all the way in the Elite Eight. So if that's kind of my let's see. I got Creighton beating Baylor.
I like that one. I like that one. Baylor's already on.
For some reason, I clicked Creighton to beat Arizona, but I don't believe that's going to happen. So let me change that real quick.
That'd be a little tough there. A little tough. But
but I do got Creighton beating Baylor. I got Maryland beating. Oh, that's an 8-9 matchup. I got Duke beating Purdue, 5 beating the 1.
I like
in
that.
The Sweet 16. And I got Duke, actually, that's the 5 seed headed to the Final Four.
Oh, so yeah, take down Purdue and take down Marquette?
Nope, I got K-State taking down Marquette. I got Duke taking down K-State.
That could happen. Yeah, that's not a bad one. I think there's tons of possibilities, which is why I usually fill out a bajillion brackets every year.
I do too.
That's literally what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go sit on this couch, take my little laptop, and I'm just gonna sit there and fill out brackets.
See, I do that too. I just flip a coin, see what let the coin decide.
You know what? Next year I'm gonna make a Python script and just
what the coin will
just
do.
Push it out for a randomizer. Like ESPN lets you do like 100 or whatever.
Yeah,
just do 100 different brackets and see what happens.
Dan Harris does have one on Yahoo, so yes. He's put that out. So subscribe to that one, and he's going to give out a prize. So I will put up my official bracket as well out into the LTS.
Yes, very much. League. I'm in the fantasy football basement. Mikey there. I'm in his, which he did a pretty cool thing. He had like you could pick random squares, so you get like two random teams that you would pick and after root for, what you're not root for, but you know, that might win and you might win there. He did the whole score thing with the squares. And then you do your bracket. So kind of a cool little deal there.
Yeah. But tune in Wednesday for our official, Bodkin show bracket. We'll fill one out and kind of, it might be a collective of what we all kind of think. And we'll just kind of go from there. So
no idea what I'm doing for it yet. I got a ping pong tournament tomorrow night. I'm going to go
pitch
this thing because it's been a while. So that's usually when I would do this thing. So I'll be figuring something out. I'll probably have some shorts on Whiskey Sports Podcast, guys. I'll have tons of bets ready to go. I'm not betting till, I'll probably bet tomorrow because of the college games, playing games. But the big games, you'll see those on my shorts on Whiskey Sports Podcast. Other than that, we'll be talking NFL and the buffoons. So, you know. They're not much college basketball guys.
Losers, Mike. JG.
I know, right? Even JG, the NBA guy, care less. I mean,
doesn't follow college basketball at all.
Yeah, it's rough.
I love it. It's my favorite. I guess like after football, like that's the thing I look forward to most. Hey, let's shift gears. March Madness. Let's go.
That's right, man.
You know, like that's just, time of year. Like I was at work. I was at work today and I was like, I started an office pool. And I have a lot of females that work there and like, they're asking me questions like how many times have you ever filled this out? I was like my whole life since I was like 8 years old, I was filling out brackets. Yeah.
Just random sites and fill out brackets.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know anything else other than sports. So yeah, I fill out brackets. Like I know how to fill this. Like I've been filling this out since I was 10, 8, 9, 10.
I mean, there's probably three out there that are like 15 C's that win the whole thing, you know. Pick all the upsets.
I did tell him, I said, always pick the 1 seed to beat the 16. It's only happened one time.
You know the thing too with these brackets that even in the office pool for me as well, it's the people that have zero clue of any of these teams, never watched the game. They always
no winners. Oh yeah, they don't have to think. They don't think. They just there's nature.
Just like, oh, that's cool. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that team. Ah, sure. Yeah, I've been to Alabama. They're gonna win, I think. Oh, you know, whatever. You know.
All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys tune in to Bodkin's show for the NCAA preview. There, and tune in to my channel here. Get the bell because I'll have some shorts for you as well for some bets out there. So anyways, guys, have a fabulous week. Enjoy the tournament. We'll be probably talking about a little bit about on Monday coming up next week. So everybody have a fabulous week. We'll see you later.